Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast featuring Mike Yanda and Bobby Hoyt. Sit back, relax, and learn how to make a crap load of money online.
I will fire clients.
Look, I'm just trying to stay married as hell.
Listen, man, if they can't sell without paid traffic, they sure as hell can't sell with it.
We always forget what we're talking about. Must be the wine.
I will earn that money back and destroy him.
Dude, if your internet's going to be boo-boo this entire time, I'm going to be mad.
Howdy, and welcome to the Laptop Empires Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Yanda, and I'm here, as always, with my business partner, Bobby Hoyt. But we also have a special guest, Chris Orzechowski, our favorite copywriter. I mean, this dude does it all for us. He is like, you know, if we could do inappropriate things via the screen, we would. Whatever we got to do to make the big man happy, that's what we'll do. And honestly, this is the best day ever. It's a launch day.
Yeah.
Football has started back up. A&M has a game today. And we got Chris on the podcast. Like, it doesn't get much better than this for me, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, he's our favorite copywriter and our only copywriter right now. So
I got it by default, I guess.
Yeah. So this is cool. I mean, I'm so freaking tired. You guys are tired too, right? Like, it's not just me.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. Launch day. I'm about to crash. I think I got like 5 hours of sleep last night, you know, and then I had to wake up and take care of the baby too. So,
yeah. This is just so people know, we launched the Facebook Ads for Bloggers course this morning. Or this afternoon, yeah. We're 11.
It was this morning. It was okay. Like 11:30, something like that.
Yes.
Yeah. So we're sitting here. We've been trying to get Chris onto the podcast forever. Chris is actually going to be, I'm going to let him talk in a second, but he's going to be a regular guest for us just because he's a good buddy of ours, does a lot of, I mean, you've heard us like talk him up and down on this podcast so many times, but he's really responsible for so much of our success because of all the work he's done for us. And so since we got done with the launch and we'd all been working together doing this, we're just sitting talking. We're like, we are absolutely fried. And Chris is like, I'm not doing shit today. I am done. It's over. I'm gonna unplug. And I was like, well, hey, come record with us because we have to record today. So here we are, and we're going to talk about sales pages. We're going to talk about, you know, just Chris having a discussion with us about his process, how to go about writing a sales page. Because if you're listening to this, whether you're kind of a freelancer that's, you know, trying to put out a course like we did, or you're a blogger that's putting out some sort of course, or even if you're just trying to do a sales page for your services, productized services, whatever it may be, like, you know, it's hard. It's not the easiest thing in the world. But, you know, Chris, I don't even know the numbers. It's silly. He messaged me one day and was like, dude, I wrote this sales page. I wrote these emails. We did over $1 million in the first 24 hours. Like, that's the kind of stuff that this guy's doing. So he's going to sit here, tell us, you know, some of his deepest, darkest secrets and, you know, just kind of the basics of like, how do you go about writing a sales page for whatever the hell you're trying to sell? So Chris, why don't you go ahead and take it away a little bit?
Yeah, absolutely. So I'm actually not done for today. Just a quick little aside, because I still have to write the launch emails, which will be going out tomorrow morning. So I might.
Are you freaking kidding?
I might do that later today or early tomorrow. I'm not totally sure. They will be done. Don't worry.
I thought you'd already sent these to Bobby.
I have up until tomorrow morning. So we'll get them in. We'll get them in.
I
feel like people see this from like the outside and they're like, man, it's such a well-oiled machine. And it's like, usually these launches, it's just us like scrambling to put everything together at the last second.
Yeah, I mean, this is how I work best. I mean, you know, I'm sure most people this applies for, but I was always the guy who was like, oh shit, I got that paper due in school. Okay, I'll wait till the night before and then just stay up all night and get it done. And that's kind of—
Dude, that's me.
I'm the same mentality, you know?
Oh, God, I've always been that way.
Yeah.
We've tried so hard to like get ahead on things, especially with this launch. And it just— You know, I feel like we've been working on this thing for months and it all like kind of came together in the last 2 weeks. Bobby's in Florida, probably not staying married as hell at this point. Oh, and, yeah. You know, and we're just getting it done, whatever we got to do.
There have been so many times. Oh, go ahead. My bad.
No, I was
just going to tell how my wife is going to, she's going to divorce me, but keep going.
No, I was just going to say, you know, that's part of why, part of the reason why launches work so well. People don't really do stuff without deadlines. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just necessary, you know, even for people who are creative, you know, like you always think about, you know, Steve Jobs and like all the, you know, the iPhone, the iMac, all these products he made, he put these like insane deadlines on people and they created like the most best-selling products in the world, you know? So, you know, if you ever feel bad about yourself for doing this kind of stupid stuff and waiting until the last minute, just know that some of the best stuff ever created has come from that. So,
and Bobby and I always set ridiculous deadlines for ourselves. Like it never fails. You know, I mean, the Facebook side hustle course, we went from idea to launch in 5 weeks. I mean, it was just, it was so dumb, but I mean, it worked obviously, but it was just,
yeah, it worked.
But yeah, we're always like, we look at dates. We're like, when are we going to do this launch? When are we going to do that? And we're like, okay, we want to do it as quickly as possible. And then like all of a sudden it's like, okay, we set the date for ourselves. It's in 2 weeks. Like we have so much to do. You know, the wives are going to kill us. Let's just get it done.
Like, I was way overconfident in there because I was like, we definitely learned from our mistakes on Facebook side hustles. Like we're going to get this Facebook thing for bloggers out quickly. And so that's when, like, I planned my vacation because I was like, dude, we're going to have this thing done, wrapped before we even get on the plane. And here it is, like, it's like 1 a.m. yesterday. And I'm like working and like hoping that my wife doesn't wake up. And it's just, I don't know. It's just one of those things that keeps happening for some reason. Just we're unable to get ahead on things.
So Chris, tell us, you know, like you guys can see, we'll put the links in the show notes, but like you can actually go in and see the two sales pages Chris has done for us. The one for the Facebook side hustle course, which I've had entrepreneur and copywriter friends message me and they're like, that is straight up the best sales page I've ever seen. It was really freaking cool. And then this epic monster that I think you said you wrote in a day.
One day.
Is there for the Facebook ads for bloggers. It is no shit, 30 pages worth of copy in the Google Drive file. 30 pages.
I think it might be 35 because we made a few edits. It might be 35 by now, but I'll tell you guys the story. So what happened, I think, let's say Thursday. So 1 week ago, last Thursday, I knew I had this launch coming up. And like 3 weeks ago, I was like, oh, I got to get moving on the sales page. Got to get moving on it. And, you know, I'm in the middle of like launch season. I have a number of different clients I'm doing launches for. And you know, when launches are happening, there's so many different things that are flying at you. So many changes and pivots you need to make. So every day it's like, oh, I have my plan. And then like 30 other things get dumped on my plate. So I have to reshuffle stuff around. So eventually, you know, it came to last Thursday and I'm like, okay, I have the whole day blocked off. I am not going to go on Facebook. I'm not going to look at my email. I'm just going to sit down and I'm going to write this freaking sales page and get it done. So I started zero. And 8 hours later, I had 29 pages of copy written. And there were not very many edits we had to make. I had to just go and add a few details about the actual meat and potatoes of what the course is. So that's the thing too. Like I wrote this entire sales page without knowing what is actually, like I knew generally like what was in the course, but I hadn't seen what was in each module. I hadn't seen the content. I hadn't been through the course yet, but I knew, you know, I know how to sell it. And that's, I guess, what we're going to kind of talk about today. You know, I always read that in like copywriting books, like, you know, copywriters back in the day, sometimes what they would do is they would write a sales letter and then go create the product around that sales letter. So they would write this amazing sales letter and say, okay, they go to the product creator and say, how much of this can we fulfill on? And then they see what they could fulfill on. And then if there's anything that they said, well, we can't promise that, or we can't say this, or we can't teach people to do that, they would just cut that little part out. So my mentality has always been like, it's really not about what's in the course itself. I mean, obviously like that's the meat and potatoes. That's the nuts and bolts, right? Like you're buying that stuff, but you're not really like the only reason you're buying that stuff is because you want the result. You want the benefit. You want whatever problem it is solved. So if you understand that, then writing sales letters is not that hard. And the thing is, I'm not a sales letter guy. Mike, you know this, yeah. Bobby, you probably think I am, but I mean, you probably know I'm not, but I'm so like an email guy. Then I became like a launch dude. And now I'm starting to write sales letters and I'm not terrible at it. I was like, really, you know, I've done a number of them and I was
humble. I'm not terrible.
Yeah.
I'm not terrible at it. You know, I'll give myself some credit.
I only did this in one day, you know, Right before we sign on too, we're getting ready. Bobby and I always say, like, man, we should record before we start recording. Because yeah. Right before we go on, Chris is like, yeah, by the way, when I told y'all the other day, yeah, I've got most of it done, I hadn't done jack. I hadn't even started. I'm just dying over here because I didn't say anything, but like I had a feeling that was the case because you're like, you said, oh yeah, I've already got started. And then later that day, you're like, hey man, you got that outline for the course? Like, can you send me some of this stuff? Like, oh my gosh, but we were just rolling. But yeah. You know, you did it under pressure. Like you said, there were not a lot of edits, and it came down to you knew what the result was that we wanted to get, and you had interviewed Bobby and I pretty extensively, and so you knew the audience.
Yeah. And that's the thing too, like, you know, Mike Cardona messaged me and asked me, and that was kind of what spurred this whole thing. And I was like, yeah, dude, I did it in one day. And you know, he was like, oh, how long did it take you to do it? I said, one day. But it really hasn't taken me one day. It's really taken me 7 months, right? Because the way that I look at, you know, you could look at it and say, yeah, I did the sales letter in one day, or you could look at it and say, I did the sales letter in 7 months. Because that's when, like, Mike, we've known each other for years. Bobby, I met you back at the beginning of this year, and that's when I started to first learn about your story, to get your voice, to do all the research, to understand your audience, to go snoop around in the forum and see what people are talking about, what they care about. So really for 7 months, I've been, you know, had my antenna up and been paying attention to all of these things. And what happens, you know, I'm very big on, like, not super big, but like I'm kind of very cognizant of like knowing how our brains work and how we could use it to write better copy. You know, I'm not like an expert in any of this stuff, but I know that like if I put a lot of inputs into my brain and let my subconscious kind of work things over time, eventually a number of different ideas will come to me. And that's kind of it's not obviously like it's kind of a cop out of an answer of like how I come up with ideas. And I guess we can unpack that a little bit more, but I always just think of like, okay, if I have to write this sales letter 1 month from now, let's start working on the big idea now. So by the time it gets to day 28 in this process, I'll be able to sit down and write the entire thing in one day. And that's kind of the approach that I took here, right? I knew that we had this course. I knew Bobby's story and, you know, the whole story behind why he started using Facebook ads. And it was a very contrarian thing for a lot of bloggers. You know, I started off in this whole crazy world years ago blogging, and I read a lot of the same stuff about like SEO. You gotta do SEO, you gotta do all these things. But it makes, you know, if you're gonna run a real business, it makes so much more sense to just buy customers. And there's no reason why a blogger can't buy readers. And it's not like, you know, for me, I thought like, oh, some people might think it's like, oh, you're going on Instagram, like buying followers, or you're going on Twitter and like buying fake followers, but that's not what it is at all, right? It's just like, hey, if you have good stuff, put it in front of people who are like proven to like that stuff, because Facebook's AI algorithm knows, hey, these people, they love this stuff. So you want to run an ad? Okay, we'll show it to these people. And then they'll find you. They never knew about you before. Now they'll find you and now they'll like your stuff. And if it's good, they'll come back for more. So, you get these little ideas, and what you do is you just keep pulling on that thread. You just keep pulling on the thread more and more and more, and just kind of going deeper down into the rabbit hole. And you just think and you think about things. And the important thing is, like, when you're doing all this research and trying to come up with ideas, you can't just sit down. Like, I guess you could sit down with a pen and pad and say, I'm just going to write until something comes out. And sometimes you have to do that. But a lot of times, if you have time on your side, what I call it is like loading your subconscious. You just load your subconscious with all the stories and the pain points and the problems and the proof elements and like all of these things. And eventually, you know, your brain kind of works it over and just marinates in, you know, the dark recesses of your brain. Eventually you figure out what the idea is. And once you have that, it's very easy to sit down and just write the entire thing out.
Yeah. Dude, I want to unpack two things there. Cause the first thing you started, you're like, I'm not a sales page guy. I think your sales pages, especially in the blogging world, are totally unique. And I get comments all the time from like bigger bloggers that are like, man, who did your sales page? So I think you're quickly, at least in the blogging world, like people are starting to ask me like, who's your copywriter? How'd you meet this guy? So I think people are going to start.
In our world too, right? Like, I mean, really? I've had other copywriters that are like, dude, who wrote your sales page? And I've had, you know, there's some big, you know, some bigger name influencers in our kind of like online business world that have, you know, have reached out to. And I mean, Chris, you know that. So it's not like, I mean, when we say like Bobby and I come on here and say like, this dude is the real deal. Like, it's not just because he's our buddy. It's because like people are taking notice. I mean, we'll put a link to this too. It's probably going to be up by the time this goes live, but you know, you had like an A-list top 1% of the 1% copywriter in the world that stumbled upon something that you'd written. and basically was like tearing it up. And so then you wrote a blog post, like tearing her a new one, and you guys get on a call. Now you're launching a product with her. I mean, like your name is in the same sentence with one of the most successful copywriters in the entire world. And I mean, like, there's going to be a time when, you know, we're not going to be able to afford you anymore because you know, with your name. So yeah.
You know what's funny about that, whole thing? The reason why, and this is a nice little tie-in, the reason why that A-lister found my stuff is because I posted my blog article to Facebook and then started putting ads behind it. So like, that's the thing too that makes it for me to write this sales letter. It's like, I actually use this approach and I know how it works and I understand the nuts and bolts. But I, you know, that's just another little anecdotal piece of evidence for why you should get it. I mean, it freaking works.
Well, Bobby, why don't you finish?
Oh, yeah. Well, the second thing, so you're talking about, you know, 7 months, you know, you can either say 7 months, you did it in one day. Like this one, I read through the entire thing this morning and I kind of read through parts of it, you know, as we made some edits and things like that. But like, I read through the whole thing today and I was like, this dude knows my story just as good as I do. And I was reading through and like, you slip in these little things that I kind of slip into my blog post that I kind of do subconsciously. And I was like, man, this guy's I almost said an F-bomb there. I was like, this guy's a freaking genius. Like, and so I think people don't realize, like, I think one of the cool things for you is like, you're really, really good at this. I just hope that you can like bottle this somehow and sell it to people, because it's like that. I think that, you know, it's just the way that you go about the process is like, you just have it. You know what I mean? And it's cool when you see that some people just have that. So I hope you can sell it.
Well, I mean, I definitely hope I can sell it too. That's my goal. yeah, let's keep our eyes on the prize here. But yeah, you know, the thing is, I've just studied so much of this stuff, and you know, I've read all these freaking books, and it wasn't until I think it was Ben posted something today. One of the Bens posted something today in one of the Facebook groups, and I was like, yeah, where I really learned how to like write good copy that sells stuff, not necessarily email copy or Facebook ads. So I do a lot of that stuff, but like kind of like a sales letter that sells a particular product was when my wife and I were putting down the deposit for our house. And I had like $200 left to my name after I put down my down payment. And then I had to come up with money for the closing costs, which I didn't anticipate. And I had like, you know, $170 something. I was like, oh shit, I owe like $4,000. What am I going to do? So I looked at, there was all this stuff. Like I had all this gym equipment and like, you know, old, just like stuff in my house that I just wasn't using anymore. So what I started doing was writing sales letters on Craigslist. And up until that point, I had written for a few clients here and there, small little projects, but it's very hard to really understand how to like just cut through the crap and get to the point in what you're trying to say with your copy. Because a lot of people, what I see a lot of like writers and even business owners do is they'll get a copywriting course from like, you know, one of the greats, and they'll be like, you know, like people all the time, as an example, they'll read like John Carlton's ads, which are phenomenal. And, you know, he has like this one famous ad that's like about, you know, amazing secret of a one-legged golfer helps you blah, 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 blah. And so people will try to like take those hooks and modify and be like, you know, the amazing secret of, you know, the one-legged accountant or whatever. And it's like, it's not the same. It's like, doesn't have the same punch. It's like, you're just trying to be a copywriter here. You're not just trying to sell the product, right? So when I had to write those sales letters, sell all the stuff, I had all this knowledge from all these books and everything. And I said, okay, this is all great. And there's a million different lead types and different headline formulas and all these different things that I could use. But at the end of the day, like, it's not about all that stuff. It's like, what do I need to say to sell this product? Right. What do I need to convince people of, or what is the main benefit? What is the big problem they have? What is the main benefit? Right. How do I prove that we can deliver that benefit? And how do I make this an awesome proposition for them to get started? Right. So if we can do all four of those things, then we'll most likely make the sale. And I wrote that letter and it was just very straight to the point. And I sold like $5,000 worth of stuff in a month. And I was like, holy crap. Okay. Now, you know, I didn't have a ton of samples back then. So that made me feel like really good because, you know, I'd written like some Amazon product descriptions, some like random pieces of copy for different clients, some like articles and, you know, crappy like advertorial stuff that wasn't really great because I didn't understand how to like cut through and just get to the point and sell what people really wanted. So that was like my first real experience of figuring all this stuff out. And then after that, it's just a matter of like getting really down into the trenches with your market. And that's one thing that I think I do a little bit differently than a lot of other writers is, you know, people talk about research and like research is cool and all, but I like going out and talking to people. I'm an extrovert, you know, so I would rather just go and talk to 10 people in the market and get a feel for like what their problems are, what their life is like now, the things they say. You know, you can kind of pick up on people's worldviews and belief systems just by having a, you know, a 5-minute conversation with them. Once you know all of those things, it's very easy to say, okay, well, here's who my people are that I'm writing to, or the one person that I want to write to. What do I need to say to them to convince them that this is the right idea for them? And with these sales letters, both of them, really, what I tried to do, there was a lot of belief shifting that had to happen. You know, when I talk about the Facebook side hustle course, you know, when I first took on the project back in January, I was like, I don't know if I'm able to do this because, you know, Bobby's in personal finance, and like people in personal finance, their whole goal is to like not spend money on anything they don't need, you know, like,
yeah.
And it's like save, invest, like be smart with your money. And like here we're like, hey, pay $300 for a course that we just created and you don't know if it's going to, you know, like obviously if you follow it and you work hard enough, eventually it'll work. But like if you've never done it before, it's like a very ballsy thing to do, to be like, I'm just going to start doing Facebook ads for businesses. Like there's a big jump in, you know, what a person believes. You know, some people, they believe they can do anything. So those people like, yeah, screw it. Let's do it. You know, let's make it happen. But a lot of people, I knew that they were going to be on the fence. So like, if you look at that sales letter, the whole like 30,000 foot view of that sales letter, it was like, make one promise at the beginning and spend the next 40 pages proving to people why they should believe in themselves that they could do this. And it was just overcoming objections the entire time. You know, that's really all it was. And, you know, some sales letters, they're very hypey and they make promise after promise after promise. I said, we'll make one promise and then we'll prove it. And that's the entire letter. And if you look at the letter, like if you look at the subheads and the way that letter is organized, it's one promise. And it's so funny because with Teachable, the platform that you guys used, I had written the headline, or I was going to like write like this great headline. And then it just, the way the Teachable thing is, you have to put the name of the course at the top. So it said Facebook side hustle course. And I was like, crap. So we just had the subhead, you know, like everyone's like, the headline's the most important thing. It's 80% of the air, blah, blah. We had the headline that was the name of the course, which like most people would be like, that's never going to work if you do that. And clearly it did work. I mean, $500,000 later, right? But it was a good subhead, a good intro into the story. And then just explain to people why, you know, instilling belief in people and helping them get over their disbelief in themselves. Because I know it's kind of a similar thing for me, like with managing Facebook ads and writing Facebook ads for clients, it's kind of like you are kind of writing copy for clients. And it was very hard for me at first to believe that I could do that. And it wasn't that I couldn't objectively do it. Like, of course I could, I do it now. You know, there's thousands of people out there who do the same thing, but it's going from like zero to one, right? It's going from, I don't do this and I don't know if I can, to, I know I can do this and I have done it, right? So getting people over that hump from zero to one is the toughest part. So, and then with the, with this sales letter, it was, you know, there's another big belief jump that has to be made, because a lot of bloggers are like, I don't think I should have to pay for Facebook ads. If my stuff's good, people will show up. And like, yeah, there's a million people who think just like you,
they will come,
and they have incredible content that no one will ever see, and they will spend their whole life and no one will ever see it.
Exactly.
No one will ever see it. And you know whose fault that's going to be? It's going to be your fault, because you did not get traffic to your stuff. And it's not like, it's not going to happen by magic, right? Like the traffic fairy is not just going to come and bless you with traffic and boom, you're going to have a million views. Like it's not going to happen. You have to get people to your page somehow.
My favorite part of that sales page, I don't remember the exact wording, was like, and it's that whole concept of like, build it and they will come. And you're like, yeah, I'm just going to write great stuff and everybody's going to do it. My blog's going to blow up. And he's like, and then you're like, yep, it'll happen by magic. And I mean, it actually made me laugh. The whole, that thing made me laugh. But yeah, you know, I didn't think about, you had so many big belief changes that you had to create in the sales page. And I think that's what makes them so great, because that concept of, with the Facebook side hustle course, we're personal finance. Bobby's been preaching to us to save money and to budget and to do all these things. And now he's saying spend money to make money. And it was a totally different jump. And then just that jump of like becoming an entrepreneur anyway is not an easy one. And then this mindset shift of using, you know, Facebook ads for your blog, it's huge. Like most people don't want to pay for traffic, and Bobby's done it a totally different way.
Well, I think, you know, the interesting thing about this sales page, I think it's going to age like a fine wine, because what's I'm starting to see in my industry, a lot of people that are just now starting to think like, people are building there's traffic through Facebook ads. Like, and then at the same time, I think Pinterest is going to go through this interesting change where they're going to start throttling their traffic down, because they've been working on their ads too. And they're starting to get a little bit closer to being affordable. And so I think in the next, you know, I'm going to say 2 years, I think Pinterest is going to start really throttling the traffic. And I think a lot of people are going to start coming over to Facebook and just paid traffic to get to their blogs anyways, because it's so hard. Like, it's so hard to compete on Google right now. Yeah, like I have a great backlink profile and it's still hard to compete in a lot of ways. And then Pinterest, you know, again, I just think it's going to throttle the traffic down. So I think this is going to be one of those things where this course and that sales page, you know, overcoming those objections, it's going to get easier. Like the sales page is going to have to do less work as it just sits there over time. Yeah.
And you guys have heard of NerdWallet, I think it's called.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're a blog, right?
Yeah. They're like one of the ones that, you know, somebody started and then sold it to some company and they've just blown it up like crazy.
So they buy television spots. They literally spend millions of dollars on television advertising to get people to go to their blog. And like, if you're that successful it's not chicken or egg. It's kind of like, you know, that's how much of an ROI they're getting from a television ad. And television ads are super expensive. Like Facebook ads, you could pay one penny per eyeball. And that was one thing I put in the page too. Like literally, you pay 2 cents to get someone who's never seen your blog. You know, maybe not, depending on, obviously, I'm not saying you're going to get 2 cents, but everyone's costs is going to be different because of their traffic, their audience size, their content, all that headline writing ability, all that stuff, right? But to be like, I run ads and I don't even have, I just came out with something to sell this past week and I've been running ads for months now. And I know that I don't care about losing on the front end. I care about getting attention, building my list and having those assets. Because if I have a list and an audience, it doesn't matter if I don't have a product yet. Like Bobby, you grew your audience for 3 years straight. And then when you released your course, it blew up like crazy. And like, that's what people aren't willing to play the long game. And it's not even that long of a long game, right? Like it's three years. Come on, like 3 years are going to pass no matter what. Like you can't even graduate from college in 3 years. You know what I mean? You can build a blog that's going to do almost $1 million.
Even with that, you can make the money back, right?
Yeah.
Like, and I want to switch. I'm going to pivot hard back to the sales page in a second because I didn't really want to talk about the course this much. But like, you know, was looking at some of Bobby's ads when we were recording this week, and I noticed, okay, his free blogging course that he uses to grow his email list, you know, he's making thousands of dollars in affiliate sales off of that. He's spent about $1,000, so he's made $2,000 to $3,000 on affiliate sales from that. And then on top of that, those people that had never heard of him before in the last, you know, in that period of time when he spent it, bought the Facebook Side Hustle course. There were three people. Okay. So he actually made $100 to get 800 new email subscribers. And that's not counting the affiliate money. And that's the thing. When you start running traffic, if you put stuff in place, if you have email stuff to grow your email list, if you've got affiliate products, you know, display ads, you can make that money back. So to bring it back to the sales page, the thing I've been wondering is, are you writing to a group of people or are you saying like, this is the one person I'm going to write to? I'm going to write the whole entire thing to convince that one person and then it just works.
Yeah, I mean, I always try to write to one person and it's not a hard shift to make. I mean, I don't know, for me, it's not a hard shift to make. For other people, it probably is a little bit tougher because it's just practice really. But, you know, I'm not anyone special, it's just practice writing to one person. You know, and we think about a sales letter, like imagine if you had to print it out and send it in the mail to someone. Like, obviously you wouldn't do, hey, you all, you know, like, hey guys, everybody needs, you know, like, you don't want to do that. You want to talk one-to-one. And me, what I like to do with my sales letters is I like to talk to people about them. Like actually one of the subsections, Bobby, for the letter, me and my wife were in the car, like going out to dinner. So it was like a week or two ago, we were going out to dinner and I'm driving and she's in the passenger seat and I'm like, let's pull out your phone real quick. You got to text me something. And I dictated the part that I wanted to include in the letter because I didn't want to forget it because I knew it would be hours till we got home. But just talking it out to someone, like that's part of my process as well because I'm an extrovert. Like I'm not one of these introverted writers who wants to just go in my corner and write and hide away from the world. Like I like talking about these ideas with people. Like I've talked to you guys about this stuff and before every, you know, in, you know, the last month we've hopped on a couple calls and been like, you know, let's just talk through some of these concepts. And by me talking them out to each one of you, it helps me kind of get in that mindset of like, okay, if I had to explain this to one person, how would we talk about it? What questions would I ask? How would I explain it back to them, right? And when you do that, all you got to do is just take those words that you spoke and just put them on the paper. Some people have trouble with that. I mean, it's a practice thing, right? If you're kind of an extrovert like me, then what you could do is just talk and talk and talk and talk these ideas. And, you know, it's almost like rehearsing. Like I'm big on this idea of like rehearsing all of this stuff. So like if you have a sales letter, right, and you have the big concepts, you don't have them exactly fleshed out of the wording. It's not just right. If you tell 10 people about it, by the time you get to that 10th person, that thing is going to sing. That message is going to be crystal clear. You're going to know exactly how to explain it, the stories to use, the analogies, the objections that they're going to have, like all of those things. So You know, I'm not saying I go to every single piece of copy, right? I go to 10 people and I do that. But after you do that a few times or you have a few conversations with people, you start to internalize that process of speaking to one person.
Yeah. Well, I think, you know, if you go through that sales, what I like about your sales pages more than any of the other ones I've seen, at least in my industry, is like, it really does. Like, if you go through that thing, you're talking to somebody and it's just like systematically dismantling their objections. Like, just, it's like cold blooded killer stuff, like just going through every objection they could possibly have. Is that something that you like, is your style of sales page? Like, is that something that you're going to continue to do like that style and kind of replicate that same one? Or does it morph depending on what you're trying to sell?
That's a very good question. So yes and no. I know another cop-out answer, but what I think about like with these sales letters, well, really with all sales letters that I do, like it really, everything starts with like the market's level of awareness. So there's this awesome book. Well, there's two awesome books. One is Breakthrough Advertising. I think I've told you guys about that one. That is like a textbook. It's very dense, but it's probably one of like the most amazing books on writing ads you'll ever read. It's like $100. You can get it from, just search Breakthrough Advertising book. I think Brian Kurtz sells it through his company. But there's a book, Great Leads, which took the concept of market awareness, Eugene Schwartz's concept of market awareness. And what they did was they wrote an entire book about, okay, depending on where your prospect is, what kind of lead for your sales letter should you use? So like if someone knows who you are, knows your company, knows your products, knows they have a problem, know your product can help them solve that problem, then usually you just have to be very simple and just make them a good offer, right? Like, hey, get this product 50% off. Holy crap, I'll go buy it. That's all you need. You know, you don't need some 50-page sales letter if all those conditions are met, right? But on the other end of the spectrum, you have someone who's never heard of you, doesn't know anything about you, your company, what you do, the problems you solve, your products. They might not even know they have a problem yet, right? So if you're talking to someone like that, that's a very different message. You're going to start that sales message off in a very, very, very different way. And it's too much to go to unpack all the different lead types right here. But I've read that book like 7 or 8 times. And, you know, I'm not saying I use all of those specific leads to a T, but what I do is I think about the market's awareness levels and I say, okay, where are these people on the awareness scale? Like how, you know, are they aware they have a problem? If they are aware they have a problem, are they aware that there's a solution? If they're aware of that solution, do they know that our solution is the one that can, right? And you kind of place people, and it's not a perfect science, try to guess, right? I think they're right here. And these are the people I think are best. So like when we look at Facebook ads for bloggers, instead of just saying, hey, we got this course, Facebook ads for bloggers, it's really great. Some people would have bought it because they like you and they know you and they trust you and they know you put out good stuff, right? But I want to capture a larger amount of people. So how do we then meet those people where they're at? So some of these people, they might not even know they have a problem yet, right? So the lead of that letter is kind of, it's a bit like a story lead, a bit like a secret lead, right? It's kind of like a merge between those two.
It's incredible. The headline, I read it. All I did was read the headline and I sent a voice message to Bobby and I was like, this is going to be good.
And I wrote one headline, you know, like I'm kind of blasphemous. I tell people, like writers I coach, I'm like, guys, you got to write like 25 to 50 headlines before you start writing. I wrote that one headline. I said, let's keep moving. Let's keep going. Cause that was it. Like for me, I was like, this is the one and I'm ready to, if this thing fails, I'll blame it on that. But
if you know it, you know it.
Yeah, you know, that's the thing. Like, I knew that, like, what's the benefit? There's got to be curiosity and benefit, right? Like, that was one of the things you talked about in the course for blog titles, right? Like, there's got to be a hint of curiosity and there's got to be a clear and obvious benefit for keeping people to read. So the headline of the ad was the weird traffic experiment that put me on the path toward building a $1 million blog, right? People who are bloggers, if you've never made any money, you're like, well, holy crap, how does that work, right?
Right.
And yeah. The weird traffic experiment, you know, that implies that there's something new and something different that maybe they haven't tried yet. And a lot of times people think like, oh, I've tried everything. Well, no, you haven't tried everything. There's millions of ways to solve any problem, right? So you can't just say, oh, just do SEO. There you go. Give me $500, right? Like, you know, obviously you can't, you know, you have to kind of lead them to where you want them to go, right? You could have said, hey, just use Facebook ads and there you go. Smack them in the ass and send them on their way. You can't do that, right? So we have to meet them where they're at. Oh, you know, we're not going to do that.
For the intro. Smack them on the ass and send them on their way.
You know what I mean? That, like, you got to meet them where they're at and you got to gradually like breadcrumbs, right? Like you got to lead them to where you want them to be. And if you look at the way the letter was structured, Bobby, to go back to what your question was in terms of addressing the objections, you know, we hint at a promise at the beginning. We either say the full-blown promise at the beginning or kind of hint at the promise. And if you look at the subheads, there is that promise, right? Explode your blog track. Here's how – you didn't even say you can do this. You said, here's how I did this. So, like, it's not even promising anything, really. It's like, hey, if you want to find out how I did this, here's how I did this. And if you want to learn how you can do this kind of stuff too, then there's the course for it, right? So we didn't even directly make a promise to anyone. We didn't say you're going to be able to do this. We just said, here's how I did this. Right. And that intrigues people. It's not like blatantly in the face. Like, you know, some sales letters you see, it's like, you're going to do this and you're going to do this. And oh my God, the fat's going to fall off your body in 72 hours. And you're going to be, have a six pack and washboard. And it's like, people are tired of that hype, right? They just want to read a story and they want to read, you know, if they could read the story of how you did it, maybe they could do it too. That's the hope that people have. And they absolutely can. So with the objections, you know, and we're going to kind of jump around here. So with the objections, the way that I think about that, so this guy, Joe Schrieffer, who's like the head of Agora Financial, and they're a big successful newsletter publisher, you know, big company. They're like the holy grail of the copywriting world. Not my words, but other people's words. They have this process for writing these insanely long letters that I never, ever want to write in my life that are like, you know, some of them are like 140 page sales letters. These things are like ridiculous. Some of them are like 87 pages. Like you think ours are long. Like these things are like two or three times as long. And what they do, because they're selling, you know, they might be selling a financial newsletter that's $4,000 a year or like something that's like absurdly expensive. So obviously the more expensive something is, usually the longer. You can't just write, you know, a paragraph and be like, hey, buy this. You need to really explain everything and address every objection, every possibility, right? So I bought one of their product about how they write copy. And the one lesson that I think that was most important about that product, the Agora Financial Copy Camp product, was, what's it called? This thing called copyboarding. And it's kind of like storyboarding, but you're not making a story. Well, you kind of are making a story, but they call it copyboarding. So like a director.
I totally thought it was going to be waterboarding.
I did too.
I was not expecting storyboarding. I was like, we're going
to. Waterboarding comes later in the process.
We're just going to drown you in words.
That would be great. I'd love that. So this copy, it's kind of like when you, if you ever seen like those Disney documentaries and they have the storyboards of the Pixar movies and they have, okay, this scene, here's what happens. And this scene, here's what happens. We do that with the copy. But what we do is we take objections and we say, okay, what are all the objections that people could have to buying this? And then what they do is they write them on post-it notes and then they put them in order. And they try to arrange them in the order that they might, you know, they make their, they have their big idea at the top. They make, okay, here's the promise for people. And as people see that, what is the next logical objection that's going to come up? And it's not a perfect science. Like, obviously, you have to test it out and you can rearrange the note cards. Now, that's cool. I don't actually do that. I don't actually write out on all the note cards. I probably should. I probably would be a much better writer if I did. But ain't nobody got time for that. So what I just do is I just do that process in my brain or as best as I can. And I just kind of think and loop through these ideas and think it over and think it over and talk to you guys about it. And then eventually I just start writing and I say, as I'm, it kind of helps for me as I write the, like the beginning section, I say, okay, what would people say as soon as this happens? Or like, you know, it's part merging, like what's happening in the story versus what's the objection that they have and how do we merge those two ideas together and say, okay, at this point in the story, they might be thinking this. So what should this next section be? Right. Like we talked about, you know, your idea, your crazy experiment, you tried something new. Well, how did you arrive at this experiment? Okay. Well, you were doing, you know, Facebook ads for businesses and worked really well. So why not try it for your blog? And you tried other stuff. This didn't work or they worked, but they didn't work really well. There were a lot of downsides. Then I tried this and here's what happened next. And then there was the section about like, but I don't think I should have to pay for Facebook ads. That's an objection right there. People are reading that and they're like, I don't think I should have to pay for Facebook ads straight up. I'm a blogger. I'm good. My stuff's good. I already have some traffic. Why do I need to do this? Right? So let me answer that. And the next one is, well, I don't really want to pay. Okay, fine. That sounds good. But I don't really want to pay an arm and a leg to do this. Okay. You can do it for $1 a day. And the next objection that comes up after that is, well, I don't really know what I'm doing. Okay. Well, we got this course for you. It teaches you exactly. So like, we're just taking away all of their reasons to say no.
Yeah. I'm going to sidebar for 1 second. Mike, can you explain what the hell you were just doing there?
I'm trying to entertain my baby while I listen. So I actually,
he's got
like a Fisher-Price fishing pole toy and he's standing there and I'm like letting the line down. And then when he goes to get it, I'm reeling it up and he's like trying to grab it. So I'm entertaining a 10-month-old. I'm basically fishing for a baby.
Yeah. That's pretty much okay. That's what I thought. It was interesting to watch. You know, going back to what we're
doing. I'm 100% locked in on the podcast right now.
It seems that way. but the interesting thing here is, you know, this is one of those things, and you probably run into this as a copywriter, hopefully more often than not. Like, this is one of those things that I think if more bloggers did this, they'd actually be successful, you know? So like, it's almost like you have to convince
100%.
People. Yeah. It's like, if you have to convince people as the copywriter to like do this thing that's in their best interest that they're not doing because they're just kind of like scared to do it. So is that pretty common in a lot of different products that you sell where it's like, it's good for them, you know, it's good for them, but you just got to convince them to actually do it.
Yeah. So that's an awesome question, because here's my thoughts on that. So like, I love selling stuff to people who already know that they want that stuff, because then it makes my job 100,000 times easier. Like, yeah. You know, when I did the Filippo Loretti, the watch campaign, we did like, you know, sold $5.2 million worth of watches in a month. We were selling to people who wanted watches and who liked watches. So it was very easy to sell that. Right?
Right.
But with this, people don't necessarily want to do Facebook ads, but we still want to sell it because we know it works and we know it will help them. And that's at the awareness level. Like, they have a problem, but they don't even know that this solution is necessarily the right solution for them. Right. So when you think about awareness levels, that's where these people are at. So we have to think about, okay, if what do they want? Like, what's the carrot that we dangle in front of people? Well, they want more traffic. They want loyal fans. They want a following. They want an email list. They want clout. They want to be known. They want, you know, all the trappings of what a successful blogger and that lifestyle brings. They want all of those things. We know they want that. They're just not sure how to get to that point, right? They've tried all these things that haven't worked. So what we're introducing is, you know, we're selling what they want and then giving them what they need. And it's just, instead of, you thought you were going to go this way, but actually the path to success is this way. And so it's kind of like, it's not, we're not selling something like, obviously these bloggers, we're not selling them Facebook ads. We're selling them traffic. Right. And that's a big important shift, yeah. Right? Because the feature is the Facebook ads. I don't really think these people give a crap how they get awesome traffic and loyal readers. As long as they get it at the end, it doesn't really matter. Obviously we have a very superior solution here and we're explaining to them why it's a superior solution and proving it beyond a reasonable doubt why it's a very superior solution. And when we change the people's beliefs, they see, wow, that makes so much sense. Why don't I just run Facebook ads, pay $1 a day, get hundreds of new people every single week? So it's always easier to sell something to people who know they want the solution, but sometimes people don't know they want the solution. They don't even know the solution exists. So sometimes you just have to kind of work around it. And that's where we go to their colder level of awareness. We just have to kind of change the lead and change the approach.
I'm so, as you're talking, I'm like sitting here, I'm like, I'm so glad he uses this like superpower for good instead of evil. Like, if you were a cult leader, dude, I'd be like licking batteries and jumping off a building or something. Like that. I just tell you, I have like so much knowledge about like what, you know, how to make people, you know, feel or think a certain way. So it's, you know, I'm glad that you're not like some kind of evil genius guy.
Ben thinks I am.
All right, man. So I think that we can, there's a lot to unpack here, right? There's a ton of stuff that we could talk about. I think we were going to talk about like the actual elements of a sales page, but I think we're going to table that for a later episode. But since Mike's in dad mode right now, we're going to go ahead and wrap the podcast. I appreciate you coming on. I think this, like, man, the sales page is killer. If you guys just go into the show notes, we've got the Facebook Side Hustle course sales page and the Facebook Ads for Bloggers in there. And like, just go read that beautiful big brain of his. And I think just even checking that kind of stuff out is going to make you, you know, so much more successful as a copywriter and just reading that stuff and getting to know it. So that's pretty much it. So go ahead. If you guys could subscribe to the podcast, we'd love for you to do that. There's a link on the homepage and you can also do that in the sidebar in the show notes below. And that's it. Chris, you got anything else?
No, until next time, I just want to say thanks a lot for having me on. Had a lot of fun and, yeah, guys, check out the course definitely. And I'm not just saying this cause I wrote it. I mean, obviously I want you to get it, but, it'll definitely help, you know, Mike and Bobby do a good job with all their stuff. So thanks a lot for having me, guys.
Yeah, man. If you guys have any questions, just go ahead and ask us, shoot us a comment and, or shoot us an email and, we'll hit you up. So see you guys later.
You've been listening to the Laptop Empires podcast with Mike Yonda and Bobby Hoyt. For more information and the resources mentioned in this episode, go to laptopempires.com/podcast.